We built a good team, we raised money. I actually spoke to my co-founder and we decided to shut down the company.
So then how did you have the courage to start again and any hiccups in that journey?
It just felt like I had to start up.
That's easy to say. That's not most people's constitution, right?
Starting a company can be scary. What if I fail? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my reputation? What am I going to do if, let's say, I fail? It just felt like an incomplete journey. I want to be the king, not the kingmaker.
Yeah. Competition never killed anybody. The customers killed the company. Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders. Today's episode is with Anil Goteti, another celebrated entrepreneur, very interesting background, which we will get into. Anil is the founder and CEO of a travel fintech company called Scapia. Some of you hopefully use their credit card. It has been quite a big hit with the kind of excellent tech-first premium service that has been provided. Anil has a very celebrated background, almost intimidating maybe. IIT, Madras Electrical, then a University of Urbana, and then an MBA from the US. But that's the intimidating part. I think the very realistic part is how the journey has evolved over a period of time. So Anil, thank you for doing this. Thank you for being on the show. I gave all the brand names that you are associated with, but there's a story behind the story, and it's never better than coming out of your own mouth.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks, don't have access to some content like this to help them prepare for entrepreneurship. A lot of us probably just did it ourselves, but the fact that you guys are doing this, I'm sure will help a lot of people.
Thank you.
And then thank you for having me on the show. I think you mentioned a lot of celebrity stuff, but actually not a lot of humbling stuff from the past. But I think that's where a lot of the grounding and the way I look at it is the basement was laid and you had to lay a lot of layers on top. So yeah, starting a company is intimidating. Starting a company can be scary. Starting a company can actually lay a lot of doubts in your head as to, are you ready? But some people also pose a lot of various variations to that question. What if I fail? What am I going to do if, let's say, I fail, and then will I get a job after that? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my reputation? What happens to my financial plans that I've laid out for myself? Because you would have thought about your life in a certain way, maybe with entrepreneurship, without entrepreneurship, but when the rubber hits the road at that point and you're thinking about the decision, a lot of things come into your head. But you need to be able to focus on that and figure out what is right for you, whether you're willing to take the risk, how much risk are you willing to take. You should be ready for failure. I mean, everybody knows. It's a statistic that everybody knows. More than 90-95% of startups will fail. The job of the entrepreneur is to minimize the failure rate, right?
So that's easy to say. That's not most people's constitution, right? Let me ask you a different
way. It's not easy.
Are entrepreneurs born or made? And were you born or made?
I think made. I don't think anybody is born that way. I think a lot of it comes from just external inspiration. My father worked in HCL computers, and he used to sell computers to a lot of colleges in India when I was a kid in high school. So when Windows 3.11 was being made in the US, I used to get the latest software and the hardware within 1 month. So I used to just see a lot of the action. That used to inspire me a lot. I don't think I was born like that. I mean,
so the exposure.
The exposure matters a lot in life. I think for me, it's always been inspiring to see all of this stuff being created. And I always had it in my head since high school that I should create products that should be in the hands of many Indians or other people around the world.
You know, Sam Altman, before this new life of his, used to be the CEO of Y Combinator.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And so he made this statement that the first 18 years of your life are far more relevant than the most recent 7 years.
Interesting.
Because they're very formative.
Possibly.
And most of us, actually, when we are interviewing or speaking to somebody, are focused on the most recent 7 years. Mm-hmm. Sounds like for you that was very formative.
No, it
was
formative. Like, you know, like what?
This, your statement you made, by the way, is very inspiring. Really? I don't know if you realize it.
Yeah.
That you wanted to put a technology product in the hand of every Indian. I don't think most people would have been thinking like that.
I don't know. I've always had that. In fact, I remember this particular incident in my head. It's been, I don't know, 20 years or 25 years. I've written my IIT examination and all the stuff. I didn't know I was going to get in, but you had to take so many exams at that time, right? So all of us friends, we went together to the Delhi College of Engineering examination, taking the train from Chennai. And we had 2 days of train journey. So we were all talking to each other and we were all high school boys who were just graduating. So we were asking each other, what does each of us want to do longer term in life?
Yeah.
I remember some of them, like when it came to my turn came, and this is what I remember answering, that I want to create a product that needs to be in the hands of millions of people.
Wow.
And I don't know, the path was not that right after, but somehow it just stuck in my head.
So let's pick that up, right? So clearly, without you maybe even realizing it, you had a very clear view of, you know, what you want, how you saw your life. Yet, like you said, the path was not linear. I think what people assume is people like you had planned every piece of it.
No,
and it
went. Not
so
at
how
all.
Did that go, and what were the setbacks potentially along the way?
When I was at Northwestern Kellogg, this thing keep coming back to me. I did all the courses in the first year. Then the second year, I realized, you know what? I'm going to use this to do what I want to do. I took a course which is called Enuvention, which is a cross-department course where you'll work with engineers, marketeers, and MBAs. We'll all come together and build a startup. Right? Again, it's always been there at the back of my mind somewhere.
Yeah.
So this was when the iPad was launched. So we created an app called Groovebug. That app, by the way, was featured by Apple all over Chicago in the CTA bus stops. If this happened anytime now, you would have got funding immediately.
Yeah.
But I did that. Then the last quarter of my MBA, I worked with a VC firm. I used to fly to Houston 2 days in a week because I just wanted to understand how people decide which startups work and where do they put money. I worked for DFJ in Houston, one of their arms. So somewhere the startup stuff has always been there.
And you kept trying.
I kept trying.
So you never like took the big plunge, but you were always
I was always dabbling with it.
Yeah.
So then I got a job at McKinsey & Company because I was always thinking I should learn how to do strategy.
Yeah.
Then 1 year after joining McKinsey, within 1 year, I realized this is not right for me.
Yeah.
I mean, now I joke about it. I want to be the king, not the
client.
I want to be the king, not the kingmaker.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I say it in jest, but it's not the truth. I learned a lot of good skills at McKinsey. But my point is, again, I felt like, you know what, I should be in the startup world, not working in oil and gas or chemicals or whatever it is. So I went looking for the job in India, which gives me that exposure.
Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't have the entrepreneurial risk appetite because I had a US MBA loan and I had my financial pressures.
Yeah.
So, and there were hardly any firms, right?
Yeah.
That's how I went searching and that's how Flipkart happened.
But I think this is very instructive for people. First of all, thank you for your candor. Mm. I had also come back with a loan. It's not easy. So that risk appetite.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is you did make very conscious choices. One, you kept plugging away at this product and I wanted to be doing startups. And second, you did make one important choice away from McKinsey to Flipkart. Yeah.
That was a very hard choice.
At that time, it would have been a very hard choice.
Yeah. By the way, I was moving away from a stable company into a unknown startup. Everybody in my family was worried.
Yeah.
I remember coming back to the US, from the US to India when the dollar was 45.
Yeah.
As soon as I landed in India, it became 53.
Yeah.
So my US loan became that much more expensive.
Sorry.
Now when you look in hindsight, it's all okay. But at that time, it was stressful.
Yeah. No, but I think there is a takeaway here because, you know, I also came back and I had jumped straight into startup and my family was also like, what are you doing leaving Goldman Sachs? There is an intermediate step. And the intermediate step is take one notch of risk, one step of risk, so that you are continuing to build your skill set. If you don't have the risk appetite, not everybody needs to have the risk appetite at any given point of time. If you have it, you have it. You know it. In fact, you were telling me earlier, you'll know it when you have
it. You know it when you know it. Yeah. I thought I'll stay in Flipkart for a couple of years and then leave and start something.
Yeah.
That was what I thought.
Yeah.
Ki, you know, I'll figure out how to pay off this loan. I'll get some experience. I'll figure out how it is to work in India. But for the next 8-9 years, I never thought about starting up.
Yeah.
Because it was the startup inside that I was enjoying. Yeah. I was having so much fun building.
And then we met and we asked you, why aren't you starting up?
that was one of the triggers. But but for me, look, I think whether you're starting up or inside the startup, I think you'll have to figure out what is your intellectual curiosity. You're satisfying yourself. Are you happy? If you're not happy, go follow your gut instinct. I think that, by the way, a lot of people know the answer but are afraid to follow their internal voice. That is the hardest part, because somebody will tell them something, they know what their internal voice is telling them, they get confused by what
how do maybe you know right, what your internal voice is telling you?
You know when you know. You know, it's a gut that you know. You need to know what is right for you, what is wrong.
Is sometimes it like the shower test, you're not excited about going into work in the morning?
For me, Monday morning test is a real thing. For the first 8-9 years, I was extremely excited about going back every Monday morning to Flipkart. I was very ruthless about the fact that when I didn't feel that on Monday, I realized the time had come. I did that even in my first job, by the way.
Very good.
Yeah. When I realized it was not going the right place, where Monday morning I was not excited about going to work, I left and I went to the MBA program.
So on that note, we promised people it would not be one-way gyan. So we have to take questions from and specifically for you, given product and you mentioned products, I think we'll combine two questions into one.
Hi, what are some of your best experiences or projects from your time at Flipkart? And also, who's that one person you learned a lot from?
I think you had two questions there. So I'll answer the first question.
Okay.
Look, I think I spent 8-9 years in the company. Every stage of the company had so much to offer to me. I think it would be, I would say
None of them are watching. You can be honest.
No, it's not. It's not about people watching. It's like when I look back and there are so many exciting projects I did, I would do disservice to the kind of stuff that I did at every stage of the company, because every stage there are different challenges. You know, when I first joined the company, I was looking at books. I mean, you would believe it or not, I was hired to run ebooks for the company. I mean, like, who reads ebooks nowadays? I mean, but then one of the most exciting projects in the beginning in Flipkart was when I was getting ready for the Amazon launch when I was running books. 2-3 months before that, I had told the entire team, we need to be prepared. I'm sure when Amazon launches, it will be fully a replica of the US website. So I told the engineers that let's figure out a Amazon.in, which will be a copy of Amazon.com. And as soon as they launch, we should know what are the prices, what are the books listed, everything, and we should be competitively matched. So we had prepared for it, done everything. I think the launch was on June 4th or something, I think, if I'm not wrong. And that morning I got a call from the founders, and then they said, do you know Amazon has launched? I said, yeah, I know. I said, do you know what the prices are and all the stuff? How are we doing as a business against them? What are the customers, you know, what are they going to feel? I said, all prices are matched, everything is done, we are ready for the launch, right? But you know, that was like my first year or first 1.5 years at Flipkart. I mean, these things are, some of these learning experiences prepare you for some things that you've not thought about, right?
Yeah.
I remember one project where in 2016, this was 4-5 years, I was running the entire marketplace, very sizable role. And our seller experience was not as what it should have been. And we were fixing it and we did a lot of structural things. At that time, I mean, I've got to give it to the company for building a culture where all the leaders were supremely empowered.
Very entrepreneurial.
Very entrepreneurial. Like Bini and Kalyan both told me, like, do what you have to do, but clean up the seller experience, but take the right calls. I mean, this is the instructions at the highest level. That's it. Not like prescriptive, ye karo, wo karo, all of that stuff, right? That project was probably one of my best, where we called it like Project Watershed Inside, but some of the things we laid out have remained in e-commerce for the last 10 years. Before this project, sellers were not charged shipping fees on returns. So the onus was always on the company or the customer, but never on the seller. So if sellers, for example, put the wrong product or they didn't pack it correctly, the shipping cost would not be borne by them. I was like, this is structurally wrong. So I made a lot of structural changes, which cleaned up the P&L, but most importantly, cleaned up the customer experience, because then sellers started doing the right things for the customer. We lost some amount of business, but everybody felt this was the right thing to do. Amazon followed suit in 2 months. All the players in e-commerce then started following suit. I felt, even when I look back, I just met somebody who was, you know, was working in marketplace and who left Flipkart and just came to me for some advice. And then they said, Anil, some of the things that you worked on are still there and still everybody is following it. Gives me great satisfaction that some of these foundations, when you do right, it stays at test.
So just pulling out the learnings from both, it sounds like the second one is very clearly local market right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first one was very much about empowering people to do the right thing.
And
right?
I think some of these things, when you work inside a startup, and even though you're not the founder, prepares you for entrepreneurship. You know how to treat others because you know how you've been treated.
Yeah.
Then you like to do the same. Yeah. And by the way, both good things and bad things. So some things, let's say you've seen that have not been done right, you like to course correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
a two-part question, right?
What was the second part is, who have you learned the most from?
Yes. Or is there one person that you look up
to? See, again, disservice to say, I mean, Flipkart has given so many founders to the ecosystem and so
not
many
just
leaders.
Flipkart. Actually, let's broaden the question. I get asked often, who inspires you? Is there one person?
I think at different stages of life, you have different inspirations, and that keeps changing with time, right? I mean, of course, my father has been a great inspiration when it comes to entrepreneurship. My mother is an inspiration to how grounded you should be despite whatever goes on. Like, whatever I do in life, she will first ask if I'm doing the right things on other aspects, which is very important, right? I mean, when I used to observe Bini in Flipkart, I used to see how he was so passionate about customer service, right? How he would like just rip us apart if something was going wrong by the customer. When I took over books, as soon as I joined, I think the second day or something, I got a call from him saying, why is the sale fallen? Like, this is, some of these things just stick with you because you know, like, how's the founder thinking? How is it?
The people at Scapia who get a call, you know where it started.
You know, and I think, you know, at that time, I may not have appreciated some of these things. Yeah. But now when I've become a founder, when I look back, I was like, now I know why the founders behave the way they behave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of these are passion projects for you where you're operating with, you know, so much enthusiasm that drives a certain behavior. So I think for me, at every stage, I've looked up to different people, and I think that's an evolving thing. And I think for different aspects of life also, I have different inspirations.
We have another question related to product.
When do you know as a product manager, as a founder also, that your product is not working out, and what do you do then, sir?
A good question, Samarth. I think a product isn't working, you'll know it. I mean, again, these are not things that one should write a, you know, document on what to measure and what not to measure and all the stuff. Look, I think when it's working, you'll know when it's working. When it's not working, you'll know when it's not working. When it's working, customers will come organically. Customers will enjoy it. Customers will write to you saying, oh, this is fantastic. Thank you for creating this. One of the most satisfying emails you can get as a founder or a product manager is when somebody writes to you and says, thank you for creating this. I have not experienced anything like this. That gives you the most satisfaction, right? You'll know the metrics are moving. You'll see that the cohorts are working. You'll see repeats are doing well. You will know that your marketing cost is coming down with time, right? You'll find partners coming to you more than you reaching out to partners. I think when it's working, you will have enough and more signals. Again, when it's not working, you will have enough and more signals, because whatever you do, it's not working. You'll try 100 different things. You'll attack it this way, attack it that way, attack it, and you'll say, ki, let me try this, let me try that. Still not working. You'll change team members. You'll say, ki, this is your fault, this is not my fault. You know, you haven't done a good job. You'll redesign it and then try again. Again, it won't work. So, sometimes, you know, the answers are clear. They'll all come at you at different angles. You should be open to listening to it. A lot of times, founders or product managers are, again, not listening to themselves most likely or listening to others. When you know it's working, you'll see it. When you know it's not working, you'll see it. It's for you to spot the signs and whether you're too emotionally attached or detached, you need to take that right
but
call.
But it sounded like when you were saying that when it's working, a number of your statements were customers, customers, customers.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
net is customers will tell you, right?
Everything.
You have to listen to the customers.
And even when it's not working, customers will tell you. You just have to talk to them. You have to do the research.
Yes.
You have to call them. You will know. Again, there will be some gut that you will have to see. Sometimes customers will not tell you everything, so you'll have to read between the lines. And when you launch a product versus before the product is launched, they'll have different ways of articulating it.
Yeah.
So there you have to be sharp as to how to do the research and get the right answer.
Yeah.
But the answer will be there.
Yeah, you know, just as a tactical, I remember, and you would relate to this from an e-commerce lens. Where you measured NPS, the Net Promoter Score, in the buying journey,
It
would change the score.
No, it would.
If you and some people would rig it by measuring it early.
You can make the data tell you anything that you want, but you know, at the end,
real answer is customer and real the, customer and, feedback and customer love.
Qualitative with some quantitative. A lot of people rely too much on quantitative and they're not enough qualitative.
Yeah.
You have to figure out the right mix for yourself.
Since you mentioned Biniad, I'll leave people with one thought, which is, you know, there's customer satisfaction, there's customer delight, and there's customer obsession. You know, people like Jeff Bezos of Amazon, just the obsessive
obsession.
Nature.
You have to be obsessed. If you want to build a long-lasting company where you drive the culture, you have to get delight, and you have to be giving delight to the customers, but be obsessed about it internally.
And then, you know, another, you know, people keep asking me, you know, how much should you worry about competition? It's, you have to worry about your customer. Competition never killed anybody. The customers killed the company.
And so, actually, I think this is something that I feel a little bit proud to have built a muscle over the last 4 or 5 years that I don't look left or right. I run on my lane. I run my race. Others can run faster than me. Others can run slower than me. None of that will create FOMO for
me.
I need to do what I need to do. And I'll run. It's my own race with myself and my company. I'm not racing with anybody else.
Very good. Next question.
Hi. So when you guys were starting out this company, what were the failures and how did they reshape the way you guys built this company ahead?
So Anil, actually, maybe taking it back a little bit, there was a company before this company. So maybe talk about that journey. What happened and how did we end up here?
So when I left Flipkart, I started a company called Proton, and it didn't work out. We built that for 1 year. I had a co-founder and we were building a B2B SaaS company. You guys were investors in the first one as well. And, you know, in fact, we didn't get PMF. We built a good team. We raised money. We built a good product, but distribution was hard. We were not getting customers to love the product as much. We did get some PMF where some students were using it in Indonesia and Thailand and all this stuff, but that was not our ICP per se. And we had all the right signs of it not working out, including it draining my energy on a bunch of things and being able to focus on building it for the customer. I actually spoke to my co-founder and we decided to shut down the company. And you know, Z47 at that time, it was still called Matrix, was extremely supportive in terms of how I approached that shutting down. In fact, that's when I knew that if I want to start a company again, I'll take money from you guys again. Because,
thank you.
Because when you, it's easy to support people when they are actually on a high. when you're failing, if somebody supports you, that's when you know they're here to support you.
Yeah.
So I took a break for 3 months, and I actually have made several notes to myself, which is there still in a folder, which is password protected on my computer, as to what are all the mistakes I made and what should I solve for in my next company. And some of those were truths. I keep opening it every 6 months
Since
or 1 year.
Since it's password protected and we don't have access, what are the top two, three? What are the top two, three you can share with everybody?
I think a bunch of things. I think one is, this is extremely critical, by the way, for early stage or pre-seed founders. It's easy to start a company, but it's very critical to figure out what is the right ladder you want to climb. Because once you start climbing the ladder, then you have to keep climbing only that ladder. So figuring out which industry, which area, which market, which product, what you want to build is an extremely critical decision. There are a whole bunch of investors who believe in pivots and, you know, everything that you can do to say, okay, we'll figure it out along the journey. But that is emotionally draining for the founder and the team and the people who are also invested in it. The lesser you do all of that stuff, the chances of success, a higher chance of success. So,
but it was a very brave decision, and thank you for the kind words. But actually, working with people like you increased our conviction in backing people who are building for the right reasons, because you also were great custodians of the money.
Yeah.
And you weren't. But it must have been, and I just want to call out two things which came out in your narrative, but I think we should repeat it for the audience. You said, not much customer success, because it sounds like a very, very brave and hard decision.
It was a very,
very hard decision to shut down a company. But I heard you said, wasn't getting customers, ICP, which is the initial customer profile, was not matching. Then you also said it was draining on your energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've used this twice. Yeah, so I do think this... People should have a very good view that ultimately you are in it for, it, there will be ups and downs, but it should be energizing.
It will be energizing. Today, if it is not energizing, I will
not
invest.
It's
not worth it. I mean, you have to be positively energized to be able to instill that positivity in your teams, with the partners, with all your investors, and just rally everybody to build a lasting institution.
Yeah.
If you don't have the energy, you cannot be in it. Right, so you will know it when you have that energy, and that you then you'll others will see that energy, and you'll just pass on that vibe, right? So that
so you
is
almost
important.
Manifest success with that.
Yeah, you have to manufacture success. You have to manifest that success. In fact, you asked me earlier the question of how scary it is to start a company. It is equally scary or more scary to actually shut down
of course.
Something. It is extremely, because then you are like, it's a failure.
And you have affected other people's lives.
It is a failure. Yeah. And by the way, that is the most important thing. The most stress I got was not about the money and all the stuff, because I know investors are used to some of this stuff and we can return the
We like money. To make money.
I know you like. but you know, the early stage game is about, you know, X failures and Y successes, right? Yeah. So you're used to the math and the ratios of how this investing works. But I'll tell you, the most stress I had for 2 days when I decided, okay, we're going to shut this down, was what am I going to do for all the employees who came, who joined me on this mission.
I remember this.
And
I know you and Vikram are talking a lot about
I was it. Only worried about that. And then, you know, thankfully, within 24 hours, we got everybody placed.
Yeah.
We just made a few calls to all the...
But it was very important to you to help them all outplaced.
It was very important for me. And it was very important for me to make sure that they all... were treated well, and you know, as soon as we did that, then I had a little bit of mental peace that, you know what, everybody is safe, everybody's got what they needed to do. Then the decision of shutting down was more of a paperwork decision of going through the motion. By the way, that last 2 years in the country, and we should do something about it. But you know, after that, the decision. Then you're just dealing with yourself. Then you're not answering for others.
So then how did you have the courage to start again, and any hiccups in that journey?
Look, I think in these kind of journeys, it's better to take time. So then I didn't decide whether I want to start up or not. I just thought, okay, first, I will not think about anything. I was helping with some housework, I was doing some other things. Then at some point I was staying at home too much and my wife was like, I think you need to get out of the house now. Like, you know.
That's always a great motivator. That's how I got started. I got kicked out of the house.
And, you know, I started then. As soon as I was feeling like I was ready to do something, my first answer was, what is the idea and what should I start? Not which company do I need to go to, and I was using the time to just do whatever I needed to do. Then, as soon as I started thinking about it, I was like, it just felt like an incomplete journey. It just felt like I had to start up. I don't think the previous failure did not deter me at all. I recently met some founder who went through so many scars of the starting up. He was very clear, Anil, I don't want to go through another. I'm very clear, I don't want to start up.
Yeah.
But I was very clear, for example, that I wanted to start up.
Yeah.
So I had it in me to be able to make those decisions, to be able to go through it again. Also, it was very short-lived. It was like 1 year of the failure. Maybe if it was 5-7 years, it would have drained me. I don't know. But because it was 1 year.
I think you're being modest. I know it was still very hard at the end of that year.
Yeah.
But incomplete journey is a big takeaway.
Yeah.
The other big takeaway, because we started off talking about failure resulting in reputational loss, job loss, money loss. The reality is, right after you quote-unquote failed, all of those options were opened up to you again.
Yeah.
So options are always available.
Options are always open. Actually, one of the best pieces of advice I got while I was deciding to shut down was somebody told me, Anil, shut down the company to preserve your credibility. You might think it's otherwise, but it's counterintuitive. If you shut down the company, you'll have more options opening up for you.
Yeah.
So then I was like, yeah, it makes logical sense. So because I thought of it this way, that if I was an executive at, say, Flipkart, and some business was not shutting down, I would have taken that same ruthless decision of, let's shut this down.
Yeah.
So you have to be sometimes not too emotional with these
things. It's objective, not ruthless, actually, right?
But you have to get the timing right. Yeah. I mean, you should give it a fair shot. You should you should not do it prematurely also, because then you may not have tried enough.
Yeah.
But once you've tried enough, then you should be objective about it. Because then you're doing the right thing by yourself, by your employees, by your investors, by everybody, by the money, by the entire value chain, right? So I think decision helped a lot.
Superb. Anil, thank you. Any closing thoughts from your to the audience? Looks like many product managers looking to start out. People all have different backgrounds, and I think you started off very, I think, articulately talking about the fact that you kept feeling you kept building towards it. Yeah. Made some calls, but it wasn't like a crystal clear path.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah. No, I think India needs a lot of entrepreneurs. I think over the next 20 years, I am very excited about what India has got to offer. I think the whole wave of what's coming in AI or deep tech and every other field needs so many entrepreneurs. I think if you are looking to start something, I think you will know when you want to start. Figure out what excites you, what you're passionate about, who you want to work with, what products you want to build, and just go for it. Don't worry about the failure or the success of it. I think there's a lot of things that Bhagavad Gita teaches us to focus on the inputs. I think keep doing what you have to do. Outputs and successes, failures, all of those will come along the way. Enjoy the journey and keep going along. I think in the end, the country will succeed, your company will succeed, you will succeed. Even if it doesn't happen, at least you'll enjoy the ride. You know, you'll say, I've done something meaningful in my life. So, yeah, and the best thing that you can also do is pay it forward. As you go along this journey, there are other founders who may reach out to you, help them. Reach out to other founders who have been there before you. They will give you good advice. They'll also tell you what not to do. Just keep absorbing, learning, growing, building.
Thank you.
No. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.